Thanks, Lawrence. Actually, before I get into answering that specific question, let me just kind of paint a little timeline of how things have evolved over the last 2 years since the pandemic began. We're literally almost at the two-year mark since all of this was upon us. And I think it's reflective in the advice and counsel and questions that we get from our clients over the last 2 years. So for most of 2020, starting in mid-March and going through the end of the year, almost all of our advice was focused on meeting contracts and how meetings and conferences could be canceled or postponed while mitigating the financial risk to the organizing a nonprofit organization. Two words that became part of our daily vernacular, force majeure, which all of you are probably very familiar with at this point, kind of the provision in most meeting contracts, a telecommunication center, or other meeting contracts that allow one or both of the parties to terminate the contract without penalty in the event that certain unforeseen conditions make it illegal or impossible or sometimes commercially impracticable to hold the event, then you can get out without penalty. That was the main focus of our work in 2020. And because of all of the state and local city and county restrictions on large gatherings, we probably were able to get 95-98% of our clients out of their meeting contracts with little or virtually no cancellation penalties. A lot of them were rebooked meetings into 2021. A lot of them were straight up cancellations. Everyone was completely different. Some were more challenging than others, particularly depending on the state in which they were located, would probably Florida and Texas be most challenging ones, especially Florida. And of course, everything depends on so many other factors like the detailed provisions, language in your force majeure clauses and things like that. Pivot to 2021, a lot of those rebooked meetings from 2020 were pushed to 2021. Vaccines start to come online. Everyone's planning, thinking that we're going to go ahead with a lot of in-person meetings. A lot of in-person meetings and conferences have occurred, did occur in 2021, believe it or not. Again, a lot of it dependent on the culture of the organization, the geography where the meeting is going to be held, a lot of other factors like that, the nature of the association. You know, a lot of those in the healthcare space were very reluctant to hold meetings, whereas in others, like manufacturing associations and others, are more willing to. But regardless, 2021 was a combination of some nonprofit organizations still trying to cancel or postpone their meetings, but having a much more difficult, if not almost impossible, job to utilize force majeure to do so, because most, if not all, of those state and local restrictions on large gatherings went away. At the same time, and this leads into the question that you asked me, a lot of those organizations that were going ahead with meetings said, okay, we're going to go ahead with this meeting, but how can we do so in a way that mitigates our liability risks? So liability risks as opposed to contractual risks. I mean, I guess you could talk about contractual liability, but when I think of liability, I'm talking more like tort liability. You know, risks from someone contracting COVID at your event or multiple people and bringing some sort of claim against your organization. How can you mitigate those risks? And of course, keep your attendees and your staff healthy and safe and whatnot. And so we started giving a lot of advice on that front. How do you go ahead and hold in-person meetings safely? And I'll talk about these issues in a few minutes about everything from liability waivers to vaccination requirements and other things like that. But you know, still dealing with some organizations that wanted to postpone or rebook their meetings and having to get into some really difficult negotiations. Once we got into 2022, obviously we're only a couple of weeks in, you know, we thought all of this would be well behind us. Well, with the Omicron variant, we have literally talked to at least 15 different nonprofit organization clients over the last week who have meetings scheduled for the first quarter of this year who now are getting gun shy and don't want to hold those meetings in person. And these are some very, very difficult negotiations that we're getting into with the hotels and convention centers, because most of the hotels and convention centers, they're saying, look, and they are open for business. And there's virtually no state and local restrictions on large gatherings. There's very few, but virtually none. And so it makes it very, very difficult to do so. And those challenges become much greater. So Lawrence, I'll hold off on getting more in detail about steps you can take to mitigate the liability risks after I kind of turn it back to you so they don't, everyone doesn't have to hear me talk for 20 minutes straight. So let me ask you a question. How successful have some of your legal and liability risk reduction measures taken to date? How successful have they from a business perspective? And how important is change management in implementing some of these measures?
Sure. And just to pick up on, maybe to pick up on where you took us, Jeff, we are absolutely focused on the contractual in terms of our new meetings that are happening, as well as you said, the sort of liability in terms of the attendees of our meetings. I will say we've had a fair amount of success, but what it has taken is a tremendous mind shift and ability to manage organizational change, sort of embedded in the question there. For folks who have a successful conference and events line of business, the team is usually not probably not used to the level of institutional scrutiny and engagement from the board and from the C-suite that these new risks are prompting. They may have been doing this for many years. It's sort of like, why are you in my business here? Now, for example, our board and our audit committee, which leads on risk management for us, they were just much more deeply engaged. And I've been much more deeply involved with all of the issues that we're mentioning here on the ground level than ever was the case before. We've had to change our policies and also to look comprehensively at our approach and sort of our approvals. In terms of specific tactics that have been, I'll just give a couple examples. We actually have had some success going forward in terms of changing the terms of our meeting contracts, resetting thresholds for cancellation under force majeure that don't necessarily get linked to COVID in the same way. It all depends on the negotiating power. That's the upside. On the downside, some longtime vendors we've worked with for years, right? They're requiring more dollars to be paid up front. They're trying to shift risk to us. So for example, for multi-year preparation for industry-wide meetings, we are in a totally different sort of